Good morning. This is Eileen Epps Hamilton with In the Word Ministries, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Morning Reflections, where we help you begin your day with God. We've been studying in our new series, The Practice of Watchfulness. And so today, in that study, the title will be Aware. Practicing Watchfulness, Be Aware. Our scripture will come out of Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gate, watching at the post. As a recap, we define watchfulness as to attend or serve, to observe someone or something closely, being alert and vigilant. Watchfulness suggests a preparedness in order to avoid being taken unaware of by an enemy or by a habit or by a behavior. It involves fighting carelessness in order to reach a desired goal. In the New Testament, three basic emphases on watchfulness are found. Number one, be prepared for the Lord's return. Number two, be on guard against Satan's temptation. And three, our faithfulness in prayer. Watchfulness increases our ability to persevere and remain encouraged, especially in these trying times. We look with our spiritual eyes and can see beyond what is immediately in front of us and look with hope at what God, through Jesus Christ, has prepared for us. The Apostle Paul captures this in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9, and then 17 through 18. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. He concludes this chapter with these verses, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that outweighs them and will last forever." So we don't look at the trouble we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things that we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And those things we cannot see with our physical eyes are eternity and those things that are being done for us through God. Watchfulness was illustrated in the parable of the 10 virgins, which we began discussion on last week. Unfortunately, 5 of the 10 virgins were unprepared because of their lack of zeal and apathy, resulting in their denial to enter the wedding feast. Today, we'll dig a little deeper into that parable. Just exactly who are the 10 virgins? Jesus gives ample warnings, and he uses the parable to talk about the need for spiritual preparation. He realizes that his church, as it is being developed by the apostles, will need spiritual focus until he returns. Therefore, he warns about the lack of preparation and how it has an eternally devastating result. He makes it clear in that parable that we are to watch because we know not when he comes back. Now, what are the similarities? And we're familiar with the text that is found in Matthew 25. We're familiar with the fact that the two types of virgins are outlined here. We had the wise and the unwise. In the introduction, it's obvious that there are two different attitudes that we can see, And these traits make the two groups approach that wedding celebration differently. One approaches it with sincerity, and another one in shallowness. It is just part of the routine. While the virgins focus on the wedding celebration, they agree on that. Their individual focus was not there. It was absent. They were not guarding as they should have what was happening for God's return. Do we believe that Christ will return? How are we beginning to address sin in our life? How is our lifestyle reflecting our personal relationship with Christ? Or is it just a regime of routine religion? While the two had some similarities in what the end point was, which was the wedding celebration, there were also other things that they agreed on outwardly. Both groups were in the same place. They were there to meet the bridegroom. We as Christians sit by each other in church, and we know that all of us don't have the same attitude. The spiritually prepared Christian may sit right beside us and sit and see things very differently. They both seem interested in the same thing. We come and we raise our voices in worship. We tithe, we give offerings, we serve. But in a crisis, that's the real difference that shows up in us. Are we prepared for what is in front of us? Both groups were carrying lamps, so their vessels were not a sign of that they weren't prepared. However, when it came time to greet the bridegroom, they were not ready. Similarly, a person carrying a Bible to church does not show that that person has prepared by study and prayer during the previous week to overcome sin and produce spiritual fruit. Neither does it show that the Holy Spirit exists in that person. Both groups slumbered and slept, as outlined in verse 5. Even the most dedicated and sincere saint may temporarily become spiritually lethargic. The fact that the bridegroom was delayed is kind of a hint of the things that we have to also be aware of from our perspective. Christ has been delayed some 2,000 years. Nevertheless, we are not to become lethargic even because we know of his eventual return. The word slumbered is actually translated as nod. It's a transient act, whereas slept is continuous. Thus, we see the progress of lethargy, which can be in our lives. First, the virgins nodded their head as if napping, and then later they slept continuously and deeply. Initial weariness is the first step to further spiritual decay. It is vital to catch temporary apathy early to prevent permanent disillusionment. The five virgins' service and reverence to God is done instinctively. It was tradition what the virgins were to do, how they were to dress and to bring the lamps. It was more a habit rather than a sincere zeal. And we see that sometimes, even in us as Christians, we routinely attend Sabbath service. We may even obey God mindlessly, developing some routine over time. It showed in the virgins and resulted in their lack of emotional maturity and inability to complete the task that was set before them. We sometimes remain in church and we just fill a seat or attend only occasionally, again, that lethargic act. So what were the differences between those two groups of virgins? The difference was in their attitude, in their preparation, in their diligence, and in their watchfulness. The foolish carried not enough oil, so therefore the door was closed. the wise knew they would need a certain amount of oil since the bridegroom would come at night. But they also carried enough to retrim and to relight their lamps. It was found in their attitude. The difference was found in their attitude. Jesus describes one group as wise and the other group as foolish. The wise virgins were intelligent, practical, and careful. But the foolish were dull-minded, unrealistic, and careless. Foolish is translated from the Greek word moros, where we get the word moron. While this description is not very complimentary, it really does show, after all, what happens when one doesn't put attention to the things that really will make a difference. The diligence between the two groups, the wise and the foolish virgin, is found in their attitude, their preparation. One was wise and carried enough, another didn't. This parable pictures readiness for future needs, what's required, what forethought, what planning, what dedication goes into it. The foolish virgins did not prepare. They were content to carry enough. They carried out God's instruction with the least amount of effort they thought it would take in order to accomplish. That's what we do. We carry out God's instructions, what least amount we can get by with. The foolish are not spiritually concerned about the future, but the wise, even those that have to carry a little extra oil, are concerned about the future, and they can see it with those spiritual eyes. However, this extra preparation gives us also hope and faith as we await Christ's return, as we daily battle with sin in the world, and as we develop efficient, effective, and faithful prayer. What is our preparation plus diligence that will get us to watchfulness? What's our attitude concerning things of God? Do we do just enough to get by when God asks for our all? Are we continually preparing to deal with Christ's return, our personal sin, and again, fostering a faithful life? And I repeat those three because those are the key focus of watchfulness. Remember the end of Jesus' parable as you consider this topic of practicing watchfulness. Watch therefore, because we know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming. And one of the ways that we prepare is we do enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We invite him into our hearts and we begin at that point to walk each day hand in hand with the Holy Spirit and move forward in accomplishing the purpose that God has designed for our lives. If you haven't done that, we invite you to go to itwministries.org, click on the invitation, and there you will see the specific instructions on how you may become a believer and a follower and in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it for today. Practicing watchfulness, be aware. We will continue discussing this topic next week on Reflections. Have a blessed week. Be safe and live in the joy of the Lord. Bye-bye.